Our first reading today is James 2, verses 1 to 17. My friends, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, you must never treat people in different ways according to their outward appearance. Suppose a rich man wearing a gold ring and fine clothes comes to your meeting, and a poor man in ragged clothes also comes. If you show more respect to the well-dressed man and say to him, have the best seat here, but say to the poor man, stand over there or sit here on the floor at my feet, then you are guilty of creating distinctions among yourselves and of making judgments based on evil motives. Listen, my dear friends, God chose the poor people of this world to be rich in faith and to possess the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. But you dishonour the poor. Who are the ones who oppress you and drag you before the judges? The rich. They are the ones who speak evil of that good name which has been given to you. You will be doing the right thing if you obey the law of the kingdom, which is found in the scripture. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. But if you treat people according to their outward appearance, you are guilty of sin, and the law condemns you as a lawbreaker. Whoever breaks one commandment is guilty of breaking them all. For the same one who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Even if you do not commit adultery, you have become a lawbreaker if you commit murder. Speak and act as people who will be judged by the law that sets us free. For God will not show mercy when he judges the person who has not been merciful. But mercy triumphs over judgment. My friends, what good is it for one of you to say that you have faith if your actions do not prove it? Can that faith save you? Suppose there are brothers or sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in you saying to them, God bless you, keep warm and eat well, if you don't give them the necessities of life? So it is with faith. If it is alone and includes no actions, then it is dead. Our gospel reading is from Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 to 37. Then Jesus left and went away to the territory near the city of Tyre. He went into a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, but he could not stay hidden. A woman whose daughter had an evil spirit in her heard about Jesus and came to him at once and fell at his feet. The woman was a Gentile, born of the region of Phoenicia in Syria. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus answered, let us first feed the children. It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Sir, she answered, even the dogs under the table eat the children's leftovers. So Jesus said to her, because of that answer, go back home where you will find that the demon has gone out of your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed. The demon had indeed gone out of her. Jesus then left the neighbourhood of Tyre and went on through Sidon to Lake Galilee, going by way of the territory of the 10 towns. Some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly speak, and they begged Jesus to place his hands on him. So Jesus took him off alone, away from the crowd, put his fingers in the man's ears, spat, and touched the man's tongue. Then Jesus looked up to heaven, gave a deep groan, and said to the man, Ephphatha, which means, open up. At once the man was able to hear. His speech impediment was removed, and he began to talk without any trouble. Then Jesus ordered the people not to speak of it to anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they told it, and all who heard were completely amazed. How well he does everything, they exclaimed. He even causes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Margaret. And Jesus ordered them not to speak, and the more he said that, the more they did. It's one of those strange ways we operate, isn't it? Sometimes I guess we might remember saying to a child or a young person in our care, whatever you do, don't, and all of a sudden it's the only thing they want to do. What they call the messianic secret, this don't tell thing that we see repeated through the scriptures in some places, but particularly in Mark, is one of those ones that we wrestle with trying to work out why does he do this. So that's something we just park in the back of our minds. As human beings, we have a tendency to rank sins, you know, the things we do wrong or that other people might do wrong. We see some as worse than others, and therefore, in our mind, some more readily forgiven than others, perhaps. I have to say that's a concoction of our minds. I don't think that's a reality. Some of us find it easy to forgive bigoted language, for example, or jokes that belittle a particular demographic. Certainly James, it seems, would be identifying what must have been a common issue in his time and in many ways continues to be in the present day, and that's judging people by their appearance. He talks about the different ways that the rich and poor were treated when they came into the fellowship of God, perhaps deciding who was more welcome, one who looked wealthy or one who looked poor. Certainly implies that they were treated quite differently. Some honoured and given honourable places, others pushed to the side and kept on the edge. It seems to me that James is going very strongly with the idea that comes from Paul's letter to the Romans that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter what we wear, how we dress, what we drive, whether we work or whether we're unemployed, whether we have a house or whether we don't, whether we've got stacks in the bank or whether we just owe heaps. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, there's no ranking in the mistakes we make. The mistakes we make separate us from God. God continues to draw us close, gives us opportunities to be whole and full in our relationship with God again, but our mistakes separate us. And it's not by degrees. We're either separated or we're not. James also seems to say that this mercy and generosity that he proposes we offer to one another are the outworkings of Jesus' instruction to love others as we would want to be loved. We would hope that people would give us the benefit of the doubt. If we turned up looking not our best, we would still hope that people would treat us well. James is encouraging us to do the same. But it also implies that God is more likely to be merciful to those who have shown mercy to others, which once again is what we pray each week, isn't it? Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. God is wanting us to be merciful in the way we engage with other people, to be forgiving, gracious, merciful, to live with a generous attitude. And the implication that James makes is that as we do that, that God is merciful toward us. And before we're too quick to push it to the side and say, well, that's just James, we find ourselves with these words that Jesus encourages us to pray. We sing and say all sorts of edgy, faith-filled, daring words. We just sang some. Jesus Christ is waiting in the streets, inviting us, proposing or asking Christ within us to help us to be angry at the same things that he's angry about, not to respond angrily, but to sense that same sense of injustice that Jesus has. We sang along with it. We don't always live those faith-filled, daring words that we so readily say and repeat in a prayer or in a song or from Scripture. James also tells us that words are not enough. He reminds us that there's no use saying to someone, stay warm, eat well, if they don't have shelter or food, adequate clothing. That's the wonderful expression that came through in the little MAF video that we saw before. Here are people from a long way away making what they think is perhaps a small contribution that can make an incredible difference, much more than the immediate one, much like the shoe boxes that we prepare and send out as part of the Operation Christmas Child project. What we offer is something that's needed immediately, but the impact that it might make for Christ's sake is something that cannot be measured. It won't necessarily make a difference in that way in every life. But as we saw in the MAF video, when it makes a difference in one life, that can make a difference in many lives. Folks, what we give and what we offer of ourselves, the way it engages with the people that we touch, in inverted commas, is one of those things that brings life-changing engagement in the situation for another. James says that faith without actions is dead. And there are times when we kind of push that idea to the side as well, thinking that belongs to another way of thinking. Last week we heard Jesus speaking about people of faith who use their knowledge of Scripture and their ability to twist its meaning to get out of doing what God expected of them. He called them hypocrites that say one thing and do another. In some ways, that's the same idea that James is alerting us to in the reading that we've heard today. Our faith changes us. Paul talks about being transformed from within. Jesus, when he reflected about the criticism that was received in the story that we read last week, said it's not the things that go into our bodies that make us unclean, unable to be in God's presence, but the things that come out of them, the result of the things that we believe. Our beliefs sit at the core of who we are. The things we really believe sit at the core of who we are. And those things shape our values. The things that we think are important, the things we give key priority to, are shaped by our beliefs. And our beliefs and our values shape our actions. This is the inward stuff shaping the outward stuff. The things that we believe shape the things we value, and it shapes the way we engage with the world around us. The world around us that begins at our very doorstep. The way we engage with our neighbours, the way we treat the people we pass by in the street. The little things that we say and do. Our instinctive responses. Now, sometimes our minds cloud over a little bit and we don't always react the way we ought. That's why we have the chance to bring our confession before God, because even though we strive to allow ourselves to be transformed from within like that, we still find ourselves engaging in ways that aren't exactly the way that God would hope. So we have this wonderful image that we've been looking at today, of the hand passing the flowers through the fence, offering something to someone that they can't meet. An action of reconciliation, of generosity, of hope, of love, of care. This is what we're encouraged to do. And rest assured, it's okay to not always get it right. This sense of treating people the way we would want to be treated doesn't always come to us immediately. Sometimes we make mistakes, we walk away, we reflect on our day and we think, oh my goodness, I missed an opportunity to do that today. So then we gird ourselves up in a sense to try and do better the next day. And we can be a little bit encouraged because Jesus doesn't always get it right either. We see Jesus in this story, probably one of the most confronting pieces of scripture that we have about who Christ is, reminds us that Jesus is fully human as well as fully divine. Believing that he's called first to the people of Israel, when the Syrophoenician woman comes, he basically says to her, I haven't come to help you. Go away. But she's insistent, isn't she? I don't need your full attention. I only need a crumb. I only need the leftovers of your attention. I only need the very fringe of your work is all I need. And in that moment, we see Jesus stop and turn, remark on this woman's incredible faith and trust, and assure her that when she goes home, her daughter will be well, and it is exactly as it is. In the second story, we see Jesus taking the person aside who can't hear and can't speak. Puts his fingers in his ears, spits on his finger and places it on his tongue. Not a very COVID way of operating, is it? But the person, the word that's used, is opened up to hear and to speak. Folks, of all the things that we might be praying for, especially at this time of serious decision, is to be praying that God will lead our decision making, to pray that we will be opened up to the way God wants us to move. And we will come to different conclusions about that. God sometimes leads people from the same body to different conclusions. And that's okay. The important thing is that we and make that journey together. We listen well to the way God speaks through each other, recognizing that it is in fact God who is speaking. I believe there are times when we need to ask Jesus to awaken us to ourselves and to his presence around us, alerting us to the things that we need to listen to, the times we need to listen and stop speaking, but also the times when we need to perhaps speak as he would. So let's engage with one another and the world around us with the same generous spirit that Jesus chooses to extend toward us. Amen. We're going to